Good morning. Today's daf in Yevamah Samech Vav. We are beginning on Samech Hayam Nidbeis. We're starting with the Mishnah towards the top of the Amud, and one more Mishnah on the Mitzvah Peruvu here in the sixth parak of the Masechta. So the last half, second half of the sixth parak, dedicated to the topic of the Mitzvah Peruvu. Fascinating parak in general, and it makes it even more interesting as we discussed the first Mitzvah of the Torah. And as the Gemara comments, it's the Yeshuva Sholom. In other words, they populate the world. It's part of the very mission statement of Bereishis. And so we got to spend some time with it. Mishnah, Ish, Mitzvah al Piri Avirvi, Avalo Isha. So man is obligated in the Mitzvah Puravu, but not a woman. A woman does not have its Sivui of the Mitzvah Puravu. Now, good luck trying to fulfill the Mitzvah without a woman. In other words, obviously it becomes... She becomes a critical partner in the act, but she doesn't have a mitzvah. More on that coming up in just a moment. Rabbi Yochanan ben Baruch Omer al Shneim, who Omer v'yivarcho sam Elokim v'yomer lahem Elokim peruvum. So Rabbi Yochanan ben Baruch says, I don't know. I'm reading the pesukim in the Torah, and it sounds like from the pasuk in the Torah that it's a mitzvah on both of them, right? Kadosh Baruch Hu speaks to the two of them. So okay, so we have a machlokus tonight whether or not there's a mitzvah on the woman for peruvum. Manan imili, the Gemara wants to know what's the source of this. So I'm Rabbi Lazar, Mishum Rabbi Lazar Bar Shimon, I'm a crow, Miluas Aretz V'chiv Shua. So once again, we go back to Bereishis, and we go back to the Tzivu of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ta'adam and Chava, and it says, Miluas Aretz V'chiv Shua. And so you will conquer. Now, in English, it doesn't translate well, because the you could be singular, could be plural. So it happens to be, right now, the Gemara is assuming that it's referring only to Adam and not to Chava. How do we know that? So the Gemara goes on to explain. So, ish darko lichvosh, vein isha darka lichvosh. Because a man is involved in kivush, women are not involved in kivush. In terms of conquering, so that's the man's department, not the woman's department. And so therefore the tzivu is only going to him, not to her. So, adarabah v'chivshua tarte mashma. The Gemara says, okay, but just in terms of diktuk, in terms of just a simple reading of the text and understanding of the text, v'chivshua is referring to both of them. So, amrav nach, v'yitzchak v'chivshaksiv. Yeah, it's true. So when we're reading in shul and or for that matter when you're reading the pasuk on your own, so we have a misorah v'chiv shua. It's going to be pronounced with the vav, but how is it spelled? It's spelled without the vav, so it's chaser. So that is an indication that's only referring to one of the two. And again, who is darko lichbosh? The man is darko lichbosh, and so therefore the mitzvah is only on the man, not the woman. So Rav Yosef Amar Mehacha. Rav Yosef says, I agree. But I have a different source. I am going to give a different source for the Tanakhama of our mission that the mitzvah is only on the man, not on the woman. Ani kel shakai pareu revei velo kamar peruvu. So okay. So the later in Bereishis, so pareu revei is in the singular and not peruvu, meaning that the mitzvah is on the man, not on the woman. Okay. The icon that takes us to the end. So in other words, we have a machlokas tanaim in terms of whether the mitzvah is on the woman or not on the whether the mitzvah for sure is on the man for the for peruvu is a question of whether or not the woman is also mitzvah in peruvu. So machlokas tanaim, and the Mishnah gives us a reason for Rav Yochanan ben Baruch. The Mishnah gives us no reason for the Tanakhama. The Gemara advances two possible sources for the Tanakhama. We continue. Obviously, much more to discuss over here in terms of why wouldn't the mitzvah be on the woman. And there's a Meshech Chachma in the beginning of Parshas Noach, not in the beginning, but in Parshas Noach that discusses this in some detail in terms of why she doesn't have the mitzvah. And again, it seems to be an academic point because, again, good luck trying to do the mitzvah without a woman. So what exactly are the ramifications of the fact that she's not mechuyev in the mitzvah puravu? Well, that the Gemara is going to answer a little bit later on. Meaning, stay tuned when we get to the end of the parak in a little bit of time from now. So we're going to talk about actual halachic ramifications based on the fact that she's not mitzvah. We'll come back to that. In the meantime, however, we quoted a statement of Rav Ilai, meaning Rav Ilai was the first of two possible sources of the sheet of the Tanakhama. So the Gemara is going to give another member of Rav Ilai. I'm Rabbi Lai Mishim, Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon Kishim, Shemitzvah Ladam Lamar Davar Nishma, Kach Mitzvah Ladam Shelo Lamar Davar Sheino Nishma. Okay, so you got no one to talk and when not to talk. So if you know that what you're going to say is going to resonate and someone's ready to listen to you, so good, so talk. And if you know the person is not going to listen to you, so that is a perfect opportunity not to talk. And he calls it a mitzvah. It's really important to know when your audience is not interested in what you have to say. Rabbi Abba Amar Chova. Rabbi Abba says it's an obligation. Pasuka Mishlei says very clearly, so somebody is a clown, somebody's silly, and he's not ready to hear from you, so al tochach. However, so that person, you do give tochacha to. So here we go now for the trifecta, the third statement of Rabbi Eli. So when it comes to shalom, so what you could do is that you could bend the truth a little bit. Okay, so obviously this makes for a really interesting Gemara, in that obviously we want to be in a position of emes as much as we can, right? Akash Baruch Hu, Chosim Shal Akash Baruch Hu is emes, and we want to be emes as well. But if it's going to be a challenge to our shalom, so you can bend the truth. The Gemara is going to give a number of sources for this halacha. Shenem Ravicha Tziva. So first and foremost, we're going to go to the end of Sefer Bereishis, where there the brothers told Yosef, you know, our father commanded us. Right before he died, he gave us a commandment regarding our relationship and that you shouldn't be holding any grudges, et cetera, et cetera. Okay, did that happen? From our Gemara over here, it seems like no, it did not happen. Meaning they just simply made it up so that there'd be more shalom between the brothers and Yosef. Rabbi Nassan Omer Mitzvah Shenema. Rabbi Nassan goes a step further. Not only is it mutter, not only is it allowed, mitzvah. This is a proper way to conduct yourself. So Shmuel was given very clear instructions that you have to go and anoint David and to become the melech. Shmuel says, but if Shaul hears, so Shaul's going to kill me. Kadosh Baruch Hu tells Shmuel, okay, so you're going to make up a story in terms of why you're going over there. And that's at Sivoy. That was instructions. Debe Rabbi Shmuel Tanagal Dalashom Shafa Kadosh Baruch Hu Shina Bo. So, and then the Gemara just wants to hammer this point one more time, even a little bit harder, and that is that Akash Baruch Hu did this himself. He was Mishana, bent the truth a little bit for the purposes of Shalom. Demi karu k'siva aduni zakenu v'sof k'siva ani zakanti. Because what did Sarah say when informed that she and Avram were going to have children? So she said, wow, how can that possibly be? I'm old and Avram's really old. And when Akash Baruch Hu passes that information on to Avram Avinu, so he leaves out the second half, because obviously that would have been offensive and it would have disrupted Shalom. So Akash Baruch Hu did it himself. So, Mishan Mimnei HaShalom, this obviously is a really big topic, and we're going to move on, meaning we're not going to pause over here, but obviously, in terms of when the applications are and how to what degree you can go ahead and bend the truth in order to enhance Shalom. So all those become really important topics. We're going to go on. Rav Yochanan ben Broka Omer Itmar Rav Yochanan. Rav Yoshua ben Levi Chad Amar Alachika Rav Yochanan ben Broka V'chad Amar Ein Alachika Rav Yochanan ben Broka. So, the mitzvah for Ravu, is it on the man or is it on the man and woman? Machlokas Tanaim, who do we paskin like? So Machlokas Amarim, who we paskin like? Again, what the ramifications are, what the nafkaminas, so hold that thought, because that is going to be explained in a little bit of time from now, at the end of the parak. But meanwhile, Rav Yochanan is on which side? On the Tanakama and Rav Yochanan ben Broka. Right now, unclear. We know he's involved in discussing what the halacha follows, but right now, what we don't know is who does he paskin like. So tis time to Rav Yochanan who damar in halacha. So I think, says the Gemara, let's conclude that Rav Yochanan says the halacha is not like Rav Yochanan ben Broka, or to put it in other terms, the halacha is like the Tanakama. How do I know that? Diyaz the Rabbi Abba v'kamar mishmei the Rabbi Yochanan halacha, because Rabbi Abba was sitting. And he's quoting Rabbi Yochanan, meaning Rabbi Abba is the Talmud of Rabbi Yochanan, and he says halacha, meaning halacha ka Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka. Ve'hadrinu Rabbi Ami v'Rabbi Asi la'apayum. And Rabbi Ami v'Rabbi Asi also talmidim Rabbi Yochanan, so they hear Rabbi Abba saying this, and they basically turn away. They can't look at him. Meaning, now what they really want to say is, you're out of your mind, you're wrong. That's not what Rabbi Yochanan said. But in a moment, we'll explain why it is that they couldn't verbally protest. Silent protest. Okay, in other words, but Rav Yochanan didn't say that. He didn't say the halachas like Rav Yochanan ben Broka. Fine. The Ikadamri, now in a slightly different version of how the events unfolded. So, Rabbi Chaver Abba Amar V'ahadrinu, Rabbi Ami V'Rabbi Asi L'Apayim. So in the second version of the story, it was Rabbi Chaver Abba who made the claim that according to Rav Yochanan, the halachas like Rav Yochanan ben Broka, And again, Rabbi Ami, Rabbi Asi, silent protest. So Amr Papa Bishlam Alamanda Rabbi Abba Amra Mishum Kavod Be Kesar. Lo Amr Levelo Midi. So on these two versions of the story, Rav Papa says, I like the first version better, where it was Rabbi Abau making the claim that Rav Yochanan held that the halacha is like Rav Yochanan and Broka. I like that version. And Rabbi Ami, Rabbi Asi went into silent protest. Why? Because we know that Rabbi Abau was a politically strong individual. And covered Beit Kesar, Mishum Beit Kesar. Somehow he was connected to the Beit Kesar. He had serious connections. So to verbally protest what Rabbi Abau said, so that they can't do. They're not ready to suffer the political fallout of a verbal protest. The silent protest? Okay. So the story makes sense. But Elamanda Amra Rabbi Chibra Abba Amra. So Lema Leilo Amra Rabbi Yochanan Hachi. Okay, but in the second version, so it's Rabbi Chibra Abba making the claim that Rabbi Yochanan said the halachas of Rabbi Yochanan broken. And now, why wouldn't Rabbi Ami and Rabbi Asi just simply say, you're wrong? There's no political fallout. He's not politically, he doesn't have political connections. And just simply say, you got it wrong. Why are they going into silent protest? The first version sounds better. Okay, regardless. Right now, where are we? A little bit lost. Meaning, we know there's a machlokas tanaim, whether or not the mitzvah puravu is on men and women or just men, not women. We know that Rav Yochanan takes a position. We just right now don't know what Rav Yochanan's position is. My havi Allah. So when the Gemara gets a little bit lost, so the Gemara says, my havi Allah. Meaning, can we have a conclusion over here, please? So Tashma, Dam Rabbi Acha, Bar Chanina, Am Rabbi Abau, Am Rav Asi, Uv Dehava Kamed Rav Yochanan, Bekinishta De Kesari. An episode, an incident. So a woman is unfortunately not having children with her husband. And she's seeking a divorce because they can't have children. And this occurred with Rav Yochanan in Kesari. The Amr Yotzi Vitank Suva. And Rav Yochanan's Psak, look, she's making a good point. Meaning they've been married for some time now, unable to have children. Let's assume they went over 10 years. Okay. And Rav Yochanan says she's demanding a get. Okay. Now you're gonna issue the get. And not only that, but you're gonna pay the ksuva as well. Now the Gemara says, now let's say that she's not mechuyev in the mitzvah peruvo. So here we get to our first nafkamina. Now let's say she's not chayev in the mitzvah peruvo. So then what exactly is her claim? Meaning she wants children. Why do you want children? If it's a mitzvah, I understand why you want children. But if it's not a mitzvah, so then what's the basis of your claim? So here we are now, seemingly, with our first nafkamina of why it's important to know whether or not women are chayev in the mitzvah peruvu. To which and Rav Yochanan says you have to pay her ksuva. So Rav Yochanan clearly is passing like Rav Yochanan Mebroka, meaning because since she has a mitzvah, so therefore she's making a legitimate claim. The Gemara says, I don't think so. Meaning, I know Rav Yochanan awards her ksuva, but it's not because she's chayev in the mitzvah peruvu. In fact, she could be making a much simpler claim. Dilma beba machmas taina. Her claim could be as follows. And that is the Gemara quotes a related case with Rabbi Ami, where a woman says, look, we're not having children. I'd like to get a divorce, and I want my ksuva. So Amr le zil lo mifkadet. And Rabbi Ami says, okay, but you're not chuyiv. You're not mechuyiv. You don't have the mitzvah peruvu. So what exactly is your claim that you're demanding the ksuva? So Amr le misibu dilei ma'ita havei alach dehachisasa. She says, you know, I'm going to get old. And the truth of the matter is that we're all going to get old. And who's going to take care of me in my old age? Meaning, who's going to care for me in my old age? Okay, so in other words, this is not a fine. I don't have a mitzvah peruvu. But in other words, I want children and I need children for my old age. So, and that is a bona fide. That's a legitimate claim. And so, Amar ki ha vade kafinan. So Rabbi Ami heard that and Rabbi Ami says, oh, you're right. Oh, you're 100% correct. Vade kafinan. So for that, we would be kofet. We're going to force him to give you a get. And on top of that, you're also going to be entitled to the ksuva. Okay. So in other words, so where are we right now? We almost had a nafkamina. We don't have a nafkamina. Meaning, if a woman, let's say, has been married for over 10 years and does not have children, so can she demand a get? So yes. Can she also demand a ksuva? So the answer is yes. But we thought it's going to be a predicate of whether or not she has a mitzvah of peruvu or she doesn't. If she has a mitzvah, she's entitled to ksuva, because then she's making a bona fide claim. And if she's not chayiv in the mitzvah of peruvu, so then there's really not much to her claim, and therefore she's not going to be entitled to ksuva. That's what we thought. But now the Gemara said, no, even if she doesn't have the mitzvah peruvu, she's entitled to ksuva, because the claim of, I need children, I need someone to take care of me in my old age, so that is a legitimate claim, and therefore this is not going to be a nafkamina for whether or not she has a mitzvah peruvu. We're going to try again, but before we do so, a story. So a woman goes to Rav Nachman, and he says to her, there's no mitzvah. There's no mitzvah peruvu. So which she says, she says, okay, but I need chuchul yada, right? Literally a stick for me. In other words, I need someone to help me walk in my old age. And umar lakvura, I need someone to bury me. In other words, I need people to help me. So, and you're going to deprive that of me? In other words, you're not going to let me extricate myself from this marriage so that I can marry somebody else so that I could possibly have children? And you're also going to withhold ksuva? So once again, Amar ki ha vada kafinan. So Rav Nachman says, you're right. Okay, point well taken. You're right. And okay. So just another story where a woman, because she couldn't have children with her husband, so is in fact not only entitled to a get, but entitled to the ksuva as well. Yehuda v'chizkiya tomim hayu. The Gemara now is going to give us an afkamina, but with a short introduction to the following story. Yehuda and Chizkiya were twins. Now, this was a really difficult pregnancy. One was finished after 7 months, and one was finished after 9 months. Now, it sounds like from the Gemara over here that one emerged after 7 months, and the other emerged 3 months later, all right, 2.5 months later. It sounds that way from the Gemara. And I know that's going to, you're going to really have to look hard to find whether or not this ever happened in the annals of obstetricians. Okay, regardless. The point of the Gemara here is really simple, and that is, she had twins, and it was a really difficult pregnancy. That's the point. Now, Yehudis divasayu d'Rabbi Chiya hava latsar leida. So, Yehudis, his wife, the wife of Rabbi Chiya, so she went through a lot of pain in having these children. And so, she basically resigned to the fact of, I don't want to do this again. Okay, now, here's where it gets interesting. Shanai mana va'asa l'kama de Rabbi Chiya. So she dresses up. But dresses up meaning that she basically, she totally changes her look. And she goes and asks a shayla from Rabbi Chiya. And Rabbi Chiya does not recognize that it's his wife. Now, okay. whatever. However she did it. She okay, she got the disguise on. She went to Rabbi Chiya. Amra isis amifkada pir v'irivya. And she asked him a simple question. Is a woman chayv in peruvu? Yes or no? Okay. Again, what do we know? It's machlokas tanayim. We know that Rav Yochanan took a position. We're right now somewhat unsure in terms of what Rav Yochanan said, but we're not talking about Rav Yochanan right now. We're talking about Rabbi Chiya. What is Rabbi Chiya going to say on this issue? Now, unbeknownst to Rabbi Chiya, it's his wife asking him the question. But now, is a woman chayv in peruvu? So, amar la lo. So he says, no. Women's not chayv in peruvu, i.e., we pass like the Tanakama, not like Rav Yochanan ben Broka. Okay, and now once she got that information, now what does she do? Azlashtaya samadakarta. So she makes herself sterile. So they had a potion. They had a concoction back in the day. A woman would drink it and she would become sterile. So, okay. In other words, she didn't want to have children anymore. She had children. It was really difficult for her. Lesof, give me just one moment. Let me just finish the Gemara. Lesof iglamilsa. So Amar La, so now the whole thing became revealed. Meaning, Rabbi Chiya discovered now that it was none other than his wife asking him the question. And so now he has misgivings. But we're going to listen carefully to the way he says it. Amar La, Iko Yalata Li Chadakar Sachrite. I wish you would have given me just one more brood. Now, I know that sounds strange, by the way, but whenever she had children, it always came in pairs. And the Gemara says, the Amar Mar, Yehuda V'chizkiya, Ache, that Yehuda and Chizkiya were twin brothers, and Pazi v'Tave, Achvasa, and Pazi v'Tave were twin girls. So in other words, Rabbi Chiya had two sets of twins, and so he fulfilled the mitzvah puravu, according to every shita, but what he wanted is he just wanted one more pair. And so he was a little bit offset that his wife made herself sterile, in that he wanted at least two more. Okay. Anyway, but what comes out over here, obviously, is a real nafkamina based on whether or not women are chayv in the mitzvah peravu. Meaning, once she learned that a woman is not chayv in the mitzvah peravu, so can she sterilize herself? The answer is yes, because she doesn't have a mitzvah peravu. Ah, so here we are with a really basic nafkamina from the Gemara's discussion of whether or not women are chayv in the mitzvah peravu or not. So if they are chayv in the mitzvah peravu, that act of that sterilizing herself would be prohibited. But because they're not chayv in the mitzvah peravu, so sterilizing themselves would not be problematic whatsoever. That seems to be the Gemara's conclusion. Yeah, Ben?
Why did she try to get a psych from her husband? I mean, technically, she's not supposed to, right? Because is there a conflict?
Yeah, of course. That's why she dressed up. That's why she disguised herself. He didn't know he was prosecuting for himself. Okay. So, v'lom ifkadeh. So the Gemara says, now, you tell me that women are not chayv in the mitzvah per revu, v'ham rav acha per rav ketina. We're on the top of samach vav amin aleph. Am rav yitzchak, maitza bishacha, shechesh yashivcha, v'chesh yabas chorin, v'kafu is rabba, v'asu bas chorin. So, there was an incident with a chatzi shivcha, chatzi bas chorin. The Gemara deals with this kind of case a lot, and makes it sound like it happened all the time. In other words, how do you get to the position where someone's a half a slave? So in other words, they had two owners. In other words, two people got together, partnered together to buy a slave. And then one of the partners freed him. So 50% of him now is owned by himself. 50% of him is owned by somebody else. Now over here, it happens to be a woman who was in this position of chatzi shivcha chatzi bas chorin. And now they went to Beis Din, and Beis Din said, okay, this is no good. You got to free her. Now when it comes to the chatzi eved, chatzi ben chorin, so we've discussed this time and again throughout Shas. The Gemara's in Gittin, it's on Daf Mem Aleph. So we discussed this numerous times, and there we're kofa. We force the remaining partner to free him. Why? Because he's got to marry somebody, and he's got to have children. But that's the man, and that's per revu. But over here, we're talking about a chatzi shivcha, chatzi bas chorin. So over here, if there's no mitzvah per revu, so why not keep her in that position? But the Gemara says, I'll tell you why. In other words, leave Peruvu out of the discussion. Women are not chayv in Peruvu. The reason why you don't want to keep her in that position is because it's a terrible position. And the Gemara makes exactly that point. So, Amar, Rav Nachman, Yitzchak, Minna Gefker, Nau Guba. In other words, nobody treat her with any respect. And I don't mean that just from an emotional standpoint, meaning she was abused, probably physically, probably sexually. So so it's just a terrible position to be in. And so the Chachamim, force the remaining owner to free her so she would not be in the state of being a minig hefker. It has nothing to do with peruvo. Okay, Hadron Alach Abal Yevimto, and that is the end of the sixth parak of the Masechta, and really an interesting ending to the sixth parak. And we talk about women and whether or not they're obligated in the midst of a peruvo. And now the obvious nafkamina at the end of the Gemara is, can a woman be ma'akir herself? Can she make herself sterile? And if there's no mitzvah peruvu, the answer would be yes. And if there is a mitzvah peruvu for women, the answer would be no. And that's your clear nafkamina in terms of the end of this discussion.
Rabbi, she makes herself sterile. She directly affects her husband's ability to have children.
Correct.
So,
correct.
So how can that be okay?
He's already fulfilled the mitzvah peruvu.
No, she said no. It's
not. If he already fulfilled the mitzvah peruvu, so then it's fine. In terms of a harmonious marriage, I think it's probably something they would want to talk about. So, okay, but in terms of, we're just right now discussing the basic halacha in terms of whether she can or she can't. Whether it's advisable, that's where the human element comes in. But we're right now discussing iser v'heter. Can she? Is she allowed to do so? So if there's no mitzvah for her, the answer would be yes. Okay, but your question still, in other words, let's say they didn't fulfill the mitzvah peruvu. Right. Now does she have that ability to make this kind of executive decision? I think it's a good question. I don't know what the answer would be. Okay. We are now beginning this morning the seventh parak of the Masechta, and here's the seventh parak of Yevamos. We're going to go off script. We were for the first five parakim of the Masechta discussing the mitzvah of Yibum. Okay, good. The sixth parak, we also discussed the mitzvah of Yibum because we talked about the act of Biyah, which effectuates the mitzvah. And so from there, we went on to discuss other Biyah-related items, including the mitzvah Puravu. Okay, good. So now here in the seventh parak of the Masechta, so we are well into the Masechta. In terms of Dapim, we're already past the halfway point. In terms of Prakim, we got a lot of Prakim ahead of us. But 15 Prakim in total. in this Masechta. So the, and I'd like to correct myself. 16 prakim in this Masechta. So we have a lot of prakim ahead of us, but the seventh parak over here, we're going to go a little bit off-road, and we're going to be discussing a Kohen and his ability to be machal truma to his wife. Okay, wonderful confluence between this parak and this week's parsha. Couldn't have asked for better timing. Okay, it happens to be Yevamos in this cycle of the Daf Yomi worked out fantastic. Okay, we did the sixth parak during the parshas of Achrimos and Kedoshim. Could not have asked for better. And now we're doing the seventh parak right in front of the Shabbos of Parshas Emor. Okay, so all your Kohen related halachas are to be found both in Parsha and in Daf Yomi. Fantastic. What do we know regarding a Kohen? A Kohen marries a woman, she can eat truma. Okay, good. Kohen has the rights, abilities, and privileges to eat truma, and his wife does so as well. Why? So it's this week's Parsha. The Torah says, V'Kohen ki'ikneh nefesh kinyan kaspo. When a Kohen is Kohen and nefesh. Now, kinyan nefesh could be referenced to either a wife, or it could be referenced to an eved as well. Okay. Now, obviously, those two relationships are two totally different relationships. But how are those relationships initiated? Through kinyan. When it comes to a wife, it's called kiddushin. When it's called an eved, it's called a kinyan. Regardless, the point is that once a Kohen has a kinyan, so that kinyan is allowed to eat truma. So the Kohen's wife is allowed to eat truma, the Kohen's eved is allowed to eat truma as well. Okay, that's easy. Okay, now we're going to get complicated. So here in the Mishnah, what we're going to be discussing is, let's say Kohen marries a woman that he shouldn't have married, right? Kohen Gadol decided elects to marry an almana. A Kohen Hedjot elects to marry a grusha. Okay, now, here's what we know. We've seen this before in our Masechta, and we're going to see it again. So once he has bia with her, she now becomes a chalala. As a chalala, chalala now will be banned, restricted from eating truma. Okay? That we're still basic. In other words, this is very simple, basic information. So you have a Kohen marrying a Grusha. So at the point of Kedushin, she's not yet a Chalala. Now, if you remember, we discussed this previously in our Masechta. She's primed for a Bia Psula. She is Shomeris Bia Psula, but she's not yet a Chalala. But once they go through Nisuin and he has Bia with her for the first time, she then becomes a Chalala. Now, fair, unfair, the Halacha is the Kohen himself does not become a Chalala. Meaning the Kohen remains a Kohen. And the Kohen still has an ability to eat Truma. It just happens to be that the Grusha that he married and now he has beard with her, she becomes a Chalala and she will be prohibited from eating Truma. Okay. Again, we're still at the ABC level. This is basic. Here's now where it's going to get a little bit more complicated. A woman goes into a marriage, and when she goes into a marriage, so whatever assets she's going into the marriage, money that she comes in with to the marriage, her father gave her a gift, a dowry, in terms of entering to the marriage. Let's say she herself was successful in business, whatever the case may be. So a woman goes into a marriage, so what happens with her possessions? One of two possibilities is what's going to happen to her possessions. Either the possessions are going to be assessed right before the marriage and put into the ksuva as nichsei son barzel. That means to say that you get appraisers there at the wedding. Again, I'm embellishing over here. It's not at the wedding, but prior to the wedding, you'll get appraisers to come over, right? This car that I want in, I want this car to be Nichsei Tzon Barzal. The appraisers will come, give a dollar figure to what the car is valued at, take that dollar figure and write it into the ksuva. Nichsei Tzon Barzal. What does that mean? So that means now that for the duration of the marriage, while they're married, so the husband now, that car is his. Now, I say the word his, we're going to modify that in a little bit. But in other words, what happens? What happens is that he can certainly make all usages of the car, but the truth of the matter is that he is fully responsible and liable for the car. Or I should say better, for the value of the car. So upon death or divorce, so now there has to be a satisfaction of the ksuva. And what's going to happen now is that the value of that car was written into the ksuva. Now, the car, by the way, is a funny example because obviously that's a depreciating item, but doesn't matter. Meaning once they valued, appraised, and put that value into that dollar figure into the ksuva, and then either upon death or divorce, now that you have to satisfy the ksuva, so now the payout is going to include not only the base number of the ksuva, but whatever appraised items were put into that ksuva as well. So in other words, the estate, if he died, or he, upon divorce, is now going to be paying whatever the value was that was appraised and put into that ksuva. That's what's called nechsei tzon barzel. The altar, just give me a moment. Give me a moment. Let me just first put out the information. Okay. The next, another thing that she could do with any of her assets, instead of making a nechsei tzon barzel, is she can make it a nechsei melug. Nechsei melug means that the items are hers. And she goes into the marriage, the items retain hers. So let's say same car, but she elects not to put it in as nechsei tzon barzel, but she wants to put it into the marriage as nechsei melug. What does that mean? It means that the car is hers. Right? I'm saying this only as an example. The title remains in her name. It's her car. It just happens to be that he can enjoy the payros. The usages of it can be enjoyed by the husband, but the car is hers. Appreciation or depreciation is all going to be enjoyed or suffered by her, depending on whether it went up or down. By car, it's obviously going to go down. But still, that is what's called nichsei mulug. So there are two ways in which her assets can be rolled into a marriage. Either it could be rolled in through a nechsei tzon barzel, or it could be rolled into nechsei melug. Now, let's say she brings avadim into the marriage. Same structure. Avadim are chattel. It is property. As such, it can be rolled into the marriage either as nechsei tzon barzel, or it could be rolled in as nechsei melug. Nechsei tzon barzel, the avadim will be appraised at the time of marriage. That appraised value will be put into the ksuva. And now, who's the owner of those nechsei tzon barzel? Him or her? The answer is very clear. Him. If, let's say, the avadim are rolled into the marriage as nechsei melug, so that means what? It's her avadim. Now, he can enjoy usages of the avadim. The avadim can serve him, but the avadim are hers. Okay, now, all this becomes important. Why? So let's see the Mishnah together inside. Okay, and that was all a basic introduction to our Mishnah. Let's begin. So you have an amana marrying a Kohen Gadol. Now again, poor choice. Shouldn't have married her, but they did. Or you have a grusha marrying a Kohen Hedjo. Same comment, right? It's a prohibited marriage, but they elected. It doesn't matter, right? Love conquers all, right? So, right, or some nonsense like that. Right. So anyway, so they get married. Okay. So now the marriage is chal, as we know. This is a lav, and there's tefisas kedushin by lav. They are married. Okay. Granted, it's an illicit union, but again, it's not a rayus. So the marriage is chal. And now, as they go into the marriage, so once again, remember, at the point of bia, right, that first act of intimacy between him and her, she now is a chalala. Okay. So now, the Mishnah is reflecting on only one question, and that is, she can no longer eat truma, done. Nothing to discuss. How about her avadim? Can her avadim eat truma? Depends. And that's what the Mishnah is here to teach us. So avdei melug lo yochlu b'truma, avdei tzon barzel yochlu. So the avdei melug cannot eat truma, the avdei tzon barzel can eat truma. Why? Follow. The avdei melug are her avadim. She's disqualified to eat truma. Her avadim are disqualified to eat truma. The avdei tzon barzel are his avadim. He's a kohen, and although he's right now currently involved in a illicit union, but he doesn't become a halal, and so therefore his avadim, meaning the avdei tzon barzel, are allowed to eat truma. Ve'elohein avdei melug imesu mesula v'imosiru siula. And now, the Mishnah just gives us the basic difference. I did this all in the intro, so I'm going to do this quickly. When it comes to the avdei melug, so that's hers, meaning if they appreciate or depreciate, so she's going to enjoy or suffer either one of those. Afa pishu chai b'mezonasan hari elu lo yochlu b'truma. Now, it's true that the husband is obligated to feed, meaning the husband must support his wife, and the husband also has to support the wife's avadim as well. So it's true the husband has to do so, but again, they're not going to be able to eat truma. Why? Again, we're repeating, but the more times we hear this, the more we're going to understand and appreciate. Because she's a grusha, they had bia, she now became a chalala, she can't eat truma, and her avadim can't eat truma as well. The elohein avdei tzon barzel. Now, avdei tzon barzel, what does that mean? Imesu mesu lo, vimosiru siru lo. Once again, the avdei tzon barzel now become his. They appraise the value of the avadim upon the time of the marriage. That appraised value goes into the ksuva. And now, during the duration of the marriage, they are his avadim. And any appreciation, any depreciation, he's going to either enjoy or suffer the appreciation or depreciation. And only upon death or divorce is he going to have to make the appraised value, is he going to have to pay the appraised value to her. Since he has full liability for those of Adam, the Avdei Tzvon Barzel, so therefore they can go ahead and eat Truma. The Mrs. Cohen is a halala, okay, but they're not her of Adam, they're his of Adam. Okay. Now, the Mishnah goes on and reflects the following. Now, let's say a regular case. Bas Yisrael married to a Cohen, and she brings an avadim. So here it's not an illicit union. It's a perfectly legitimate union. A Bas Yisrael is married to a Cohen, and however the avadim come into the marriage, whether they come in via Tzvon Barzel, whether they come in avayim alog, they're going to go ahead and be able to eat truma. Of course. Now, I say of course, by the way, the Gemara is going to give us a drasha, but I'll say it anyway. Of course they're going to eat truma. Bas Cohen, Shenisei Yisrael. So let's say you have a Bas Cohen married to Yisrael. V'echnisu lo avadim, bein avdim alog, bein avdim Tzvon Barzel, harelu lo yochlu b'truma. So here, if a Bas Cohen decides to marry Yisrael, so there, good, it's no problem whatsoever, perfectly legitimate union, but just know that she's going to be forfeiting her ability to eat truma. And not only is she forfeiting her ability to eat truma, but of course, her avadim, regardless of whether they're Tzvon Barzel or Malug avadim, are also going to be forfeiting their ability to eat truma as well.
If the husband is Israel, how does he get truma?
He doesn't. In other words, no. The Mishnah's point is really simple. As a Bas Cohen, before she got married, she could eat truma. And now that she married Yisrael, she can't eat truma.
Right.
That's all. That's the whole point of Mishnah.
And her avadim, even though they're her avadim, can't eat it because she's now married.
Right. In other words, right. Right. Once she can't eat it, her avadim can't eat it as well. Perfect.
Okay.
So the Gemara says that, let's go back to our first case of our Mishnah, the Avdei Malug. Of our either a mana to Kohen Gadol or grusha to a Kohen Hedjot. So what do we say in our Mishnah? That her Avdei Malug cannot eat Truma. The Gemara says, why not? Meaning, what are the Avdei Malug? So they are Kinyan or Shel Kinyan. Okay? To explain. Detanya. Well, first I'll read the Braisa. Minan Kohen Shanas Yishave Kana Avadim Shiachlu B'Truma Shanemra V'Kohen Ki Yikne Nefesh Kinyan Kaspom Hu Yochabom. Okay, so first of all, again, the Braisa goes step by step. Step number one, Cohen marries a woman. A Cohen buys an Eved. The woman he married or the Eved that he purchased is allowed to eat Truma. Why? Pasuk in this week's Parsha. Good. Next. Let's say your Kinyan made a Kinyan. Now, the case of the woman is easy. The case of the Eved is hard. But let's start with the case of the woman. So Cohen married a woman. That's Kinyan number one. Again, vis-a-vis Truma, we're calling the marriage a Kinyan. Okay? It's what it is, so it's just the easiest way to describe it, and it's correct. So when a Cohen marries a woman, that's Kinyan number one. And let's say, after the marriage, the woman decides, you know what? I want to purchase an Eved. She may do so. So now, that Eved is a Kinyan of the woman. So, can the Kinyan of a Cohen eat Truma? The answer is yes. Unequivocally, the answer is yes. Well, I say unequivocally. In a moment, we're going to equivocate. But right now, the answer is yes. Let's say your Eved purchases an Eved. So now this becomes a little bit problematic, a little bit challenging, because your Eved does not own anything. In fact, anything your Eved picks up automatically becomes property of its owner. So how can the Eved afford, right? And I mean that legally. How can the Eved afford another Eved, meaning he doesn't have any money in his own? Rashi picks up on that. Rashi gives an answer. I'll tell you what, we're going to skip this right now for now. I want the basic concept right now. And that is that the Kinyan of a Kohen can eat Truma. How do I know that? So that's in Bryce's next point. So, Vava, Dushkanu, Avan, Shiochle, B'Truma, Shenemer, V'Kohen, Ki, Nefesh, Kinyan, Kaspo, Hu, Yochabo, Kinyano, Shekana, Kinyan, Ochel. A Kinyan that eats a Kinyan is allowed to eat. So now here's the Gemara's question. Everyone follow. That I have a Kohen who elected to marry Grusha. He shouldn't have done it, but he did it. Now the Grusha comes into the marriage and she has an Eved. Now the Avdei Tzvon Barzel are his. There's nothing to talk about. We're good. The Avdei Malug are hers. And the Mishnah taught us that they can't eat Truma. Why not? Meaning just follow the bouncing ball. Meaning the Avdei Malug are owned by the woman And the woman, in turn, is a kinyan of the Kohen. So if a kinyan of a kinyan of a Kohen is allowed to eat truma, so why can't the Avdei Malug go ahead and eat the truma? That's the Gemara's question. So she's a chalala. That's great. That doesn't make her avid a chalala. Okay?
It's her jurisdiction, though.
It's her jurisdiction, so that effectively is going to be the first answer of the Gemara. Okay, so the Gemara is going to give, we know there's an answer to the question, it's just a question of how to formulate the answer. The Gemara is going to have three answers to the question. So number one, kol ha'ochel machel, kol she'eino ochel eino machel. So effectively, Ben, the Gemara is giving your answer, which is, it's a function of jurisdiction. Meaning, if she can't eat, so then her kinyan can't eat. Kol ha'ochel machel. If you're in a position where you can eat, you can cause others to eat. But if you can't eat, you can't cause others to eat. Now the Gemara says, "Is this rule right?" Meaning, we're gonna sit here for a moment. We're gonna think about this. So the Gemara says, "Wait 1 second. Let's say, for example, you have an arel, right? An arel is not allowed to eat truma. An arel kohen cannot eat truma. We'll discuss this later in the next parak of Yevamos, in the 8th parak. So anyway, but that's a halacha." So let's say an RL marries a woman, or gets an Eved for that matter. Can that woman eat truma? Yes. Can the Eved eat truma? Yes. So let's think about this rule. Kol ha'machil ochel, kol ha'ochel machil, and kol she'eino ochel, eino machil. That's not true. An RL can't eat, but his kinyan can eat. So the Gemara says, hasam pumay ke'evlu. So the Gemara says, yeah, but no. I'm not... That's a bad example. In other words, the Gemara says his mouth hurts. It's an expression. It means that it's a temporary situation, an aral or a tameh, that can be rectified. He fundamentally can eat. It just happens to be right now, he's in a state of life. Either he doesn't have a bris, or he's tameh, he's currently tameh, but fundamentally he can eat. That's not a good example. The Gemara says, okay, that's not a good example. I'll give you a good example of somebody who can cause others to eat truma, but they themselves fundamentally can't eat truma. What would that be? Vare mamzer. She'en ochel machel. So what about the case of the mamzer? Now, the case of the mamzer is based on a Mishnah coming up later in our perek. We're going to see this case a couple days from now, but the basic idea is as follows. And this can get long and involved, and I'm not going to make it long and involved. I'm going to make it short and simple. And that is that if I have, let's say, for example, a woman married to a Kohen, and she has a grandchild who's not a Kohen, okay, and that can easily happen, meaning that, let's say, they have a daughter, the daughter married to Yisrael, and they have a grandchild. The grandchild's not a Kohen. So that grandchild, even if her husband dies, that grandchild will entitle her to eat truma, right? The pasuk says, Zera ein la, she had no children, but if she did have a child, even if that child from her late husband is not a Kohen. Now, what do you mean their child is not a Kohen? So here we're talking about a grandchild. So even if the grandchild is not a Kohen, but because she had a Zera with her husband, she's still able to eat Truma. So here, and I know the Gemara said Mamzer, and we're not going to get caught up in Mamzer, even though the Gemara did say the word Mamzer. But it's Lav Dafka. And everything I'm saying is Rashi. Anyway, the point is that you can have a non-Kohen Zera allow her to eat Truma. So here is a perfect illustration of somebody who is Eino Ochel Umachel, and yet he can cause others to eat. So your principle of Kol She Ochel Machel, Kol She Eino Ochel Eino Machel, it's simply not true. So I'm a Ravina, so Ravina says, okay, so you know what we're going to do? We're going to tweak it. So let's tweak it. So King and Ochel Kamer, King and Ochel Machel, She Eino Ochel Eino Machel. Okay, so basically, once again, it is going to be Ben's point, but it's just going to be somewhat tweaked. And that is that if you're a Kenyan that can eat, so your underling, your Kenyan can eat as well. But if you as a Kenyan can't eat, so whatever is a Kenyan of yours cannot eat as well. Meaning the second Kenyan is only going to be a function of the first Kenyan, period. The first Kenyan can eat, yes, and if the first Kenyan cannot eat, no. Okay. Fine. But as a primary ma'achil, as a primary ma'achil, so we don't have this rule. Okay, anyway. So answer number one is that because the woman herself can't eat truma, so her evit can't eat truma. This is a function of she's a kinyan who can't eat, Therefore, the kinyan of the kinyan can't eat. But the Gemara is going to give two other answers. Now, in both of these second answers of the Gemara really is, these two answers are fundamentally shifting in their position. In that, in these two, in the answers number two and three, we're going to change our assumption. Really, the Avdei Malug are in fact allowed to eat Truma. Meaning she's a Chalala. That's true. But again, we're not talking about her. We're talking about her Avadim. Okay. And the Avdei Malug really, in principle, are allowed to eat the Truma. Okay. So why does our Mishnah say no? So Rav Amar Midah Raisa Mechal Achliv Rabbanon Degas Rebu Gadesh Tamar Ani Eini Ochal As Avadai No Ochlem Zona Yotzli Ilka Chasil Afuke. So Rav says is that this is really a din to Rabbanon. Why did the Chachamim legislate that her Avadim can't eat when Min HaTorah they're allowed to eat? Because basically, we wanted to get the hint. Meaning, she's a Grusha who married a Kohen. And now, if she starts looking around saying, hey, you know what? It's a little bit strange, by the way. I'm not eating truma, right? And again, she's a chalala. We understand why. But I'm not eating truma. Not only am I not eating truma, but my avadim also are not eating truma as well. Meaning, I'm really ice. I'm really I'm on the outside. And the chachamim said, good. In other words, we want you to get the hint. Meaning, she feels a little bit like she feels a little bit like a zona. Yeah. In other words, this is it's a prohibited union. You shouldn't have married to begin with. And now basically, this is just a way of nudging her, incentivizing her, motivating her to exit this marriage, a marriage that she shouldn't have entered in to begin with. Okay. That's Rava's approach. And Rav Ashi Amar Gzera Shematachel La'achar Misa. So the Gemara says, well, it's also fundamentally the Avdei Malug are allowed to eat the Truma, but the Chachamim made Gzera. Why? Well, the Chachamim were concerned was the following. After her husband dies, she's going to continue, meaning if we would have allowed the Avdei Malug to eat the Truma while her husband was alive, she will continue to do so even after her husband died. So Elameata, the Gemara says, really, you're worried about that? Meaning the Chachamim made Gzera for that? Elameata, Bas Yisrael, Shenisa, Zekon, Latachil, Gzera Shema Tachil, Achamisa. So how about this? A regular Bas Yisrael married to a Kohen. So maybe she shouldn't be giving her Avdei Malug Truma, because she may continue to feed her Avdei Malug even after her husband died. Meaning, we're not worried about that. So Elam Ravashi Ba'amana Kohen, Asya La Ruhe. So Ravashi says, no, clarification. Meaning, we're talking about a Bas Kohen married to a Kohen. Now, she is admittedly an Almana, right? Because again, we're talking about where the Almana married the Kohen Gadol, but she is a Bas Kohen. Now, she's married to a Kohen, she married the Kohen Gadol, she becomes a Chalala, and the Chachamim were concerned that if her Avdei Malug eat the Truma, they're going to continue eating the Truma even after the death of her husband, who, by the way, happened to have been the Kohen Gadol. Now, Asya La'aruye, because she's going to be Malamed the following Heter for herself. She'll justify. Me kara achle b'truma. Look, my avadim were eating truma before I got married, and debein asha of my father's own, and insevele lahai achle b'truma de gavrai. And then I got married. Now I married the Kohen Gadol. Now, granted, by the way, she's an Amana. She shouldn't have married the Kohen Gadol, but she did. Okay, but in her mind now, if we would have allowed the din d'oraisa of the avdei malug eating the truma, she's going to think to herself, they're eating the truma of my husband. Now, Vahasha, Hadrilela Milsa Kamaisa. And now what happened? Her husband died. Now she's going to say to herself, so in other words, I'll just go back to where I was before I was married. Meaning, me and my Avadim were eating daddy's truma. Okay, so after the death of her husband, me and my Avadim are going to be eating daddy's truma. But of course, however, she can't do that. Meaning, because she's an Aman who married the Kohen Gadol, she became a Chalala. So now, post-marriage, meaning now in her newly widowed state, or divorced state, whichever, she cannot eat the Truma because now she's a Chalala. But she won't be sensitive to that. So as a concern for her lack of sensitivity to what just happened, so the Chachamim therefore goes there while they were married. Now, I was trying to wrap my head around this with my chavrus earlier this morning, meaning the Chachamim made a gzera for such a case. We're talking about an amana marrying a Kohen Gadol, and the Chachamim making a gzera for this possibility. It's a, How many times is an amana going to be marrying a Kohen Gadol? The Chachamim have to make a gzera. Okay. Tena Chamana Kohenes Amana Bas Yisrael Ma'ikal Amemer. The Gemara says, okay, but this Mora Heter, this justification, rationalization, that's true when a Kohenes is marrying a Kohen. But you don't have such a rationalization by a Bas Yisrael. So the Gemara says, Ba'amanasa Lo Pligi. So Lo Plug Rabbanan, meaning once the Chachamim made a gzera, so they made the gzera across the board. They made it for the Kohenes Almana. They made it for a Bas Yisrael Almana. Okay, fine. Adkan, that takes us to the first half of today's daf. Okay, let's begin the second half of today's daf. Okay, so in the first half of today's daf, with the new perek, the seventh perek, so what we learned together is that if a grusha or an almana enters into a marriage with a Kohen, which he should not have done, for the almana would be a Kohen Gadol, so now she becomes a Chalala, so can her avadim eat truma? So it depends. Avdei Tzoron Barzel can, because they're his, and he doesn't become a Chalal. The Avdei Maluk cannot, because she's a Chalala, and therefore her Avdei Maluk cannot eat, because they are her Avadim, not his Avadim. Now, the Gemara's question, which we just dealt the last 10 minutes, yeah, but even though they're her Avadim, aren't they the Kinyan of a Kohen? Can't the Kinyan of a Kohen eat Truma? And the Gemara gave three different answers to that question. One is that Midaraisa doesn't work, and the other two is no, Midaraisa works, it's just that the Chachamim were goes there. Okay, next. This next discussion we're going to have, obviously we'll continue this tomorrow, but this discussion is a really fundamental question of Nichsei Tzoron Barzel. Now I know a number of occasions this morning I said Nichsei Tzoron Barzel are his. In other words, they appraise their value, he becomes fully responsible for the appraised value, but they're his in terms of ownership. What we're going to do now is that we're going to litigate that statement. How much are they his? So, the Gemara starts off the discussion. So let's say items get appraised at the marriage, put into the ksuva. So he omeres kliani no tells v'homer damem ani no sein. Now the marriage terminates, and now they're in divorce court, and she says, look, that car which we appraised and I put into the ksuva, and now that we're exiting the marriage, I want the car. The car was Nichsei Tzoron Barzel. And he says, no. In other words, it's part of the ksuva. I'll pay you for the appraised value, but I keep the car. So the question is really simple. Nichsei Tzoron Barzel, is it fundamentally his, or is it his but not fundamentally? Okay, so, Vuhu Omer Damim Aninosin, Hadin Immi. So who's right? So it's Machlokas Amarayim. Rav Yehuda Amar, as we are now on the top of the Amud Beis, Adini Ma. Rav Yehuda says, she gets the car. And Rabbi Ami Amar Hadini Ma. And Rabbi Ami says, he gets the car. Now, Rav Yehuda Amar Hadini Ma Mishum Shevach Beis Avia. Didahave. So as far as Rashita's Rav Yehuda is concerned, Shevach Beis Avia. It's a family heirloom. Not the best translation, but it definitely gets the sentiment across. And that is that it's true. She put it into the ksuva. It's true it was appraised. It's true that he's fully liable for the appraised value. But when all said and done, she brought it into the marriage. It is part of her family's assets and portfolio. And so therefore, when the marriage terminates, if the marriage terminates, so she gets to take it back. Even though during the marriage, he became fully liable for it. And Rav Ami Amar Hu Adin Imo Kim and Amar Mar Imesu Mesu Lo Imvo Siru Siru Lo Ho V'Chay V'Achriusin Yochlu. So, and as far as the sheet of Rabbi Ami is concerned, look, in other words, what do we know regarding Nichsei Tzoron Barzel? If it goes up in value, that's his to appreciate. He appreciates the appreciation. And if it depreciates, so he's going to have to suffer that. So in other words, he's going to have all the benefit and he's going to be suffering all the loss. Isn't that normally a reflection of ownership? And furthermore, in the what we learned in our Mishnah, is that when she brings Nichsei Tzoron Barzel and she's a Chalala, is our Avdei Tzoron Barzel able to eat Truma? You bet. Avdei Tzoron Barzel to eat Truma. What does that reflect? It's his. Okay, so, I'm Rav Safra Mikatani Behen Shalom Hol V'chai Bechriyus and Katani Olalam Lavdi Deinenu. So Rav Safra says, look, I hear you, meaning he's talking about Rabbi Ami, I hear you, but if you want to read the Mishnah carefully, it doesn't say the Avadim are his. It just simply says he's fully liable. And let's not confuse liability to ownership. Meaning, even though you're fully liable, that doesn't default, de facto, make you the owner. So let's go through the Mishnayos and Truma. We're going to learn two Mishnayos and Truma, and it will inform us regarding our case over here. So the first Mishnah and Truma is the following. So this is the 11th parak of Trumos. Yisrael Shasachar Parmi Kohen. So let's say Yisrael rented an animal from a Kohen. So Areza Yachalenu Karshine Truma. So whose animal is this? It's the Kohen's animal. He rented it out? Yeah, he rented it out. But it's the Kohen's animal. And so therefore, this Ar Yisrael can feed the animal Karshine Truma. Okay?
Where is he getting it from?
Yeah, I anticipated the question. I don't have a great answer.
How do you do that?
Okay, but right now, again, your question's great. It's just the point right now is that it is the Kohen's animal. The Kohen Shesachar Parmi Yisrael Afa Pishim Mizonosel Lav Lo Yachalena Karshine Truma. On the other hand, on the flip, where I have our Kohen renting a Yisrael's animal, so again, it's a rental, it's fundamentally the Yisrael's, and so now the Kohen cannot feed this animal, Karshine Truma. Fine. So, what the Gemara now is thinking is that that mission we just learned shouldn't inform us about our case over here. Now, of course, as the Gemara is about to point out, it's an absurd comparison. There we're talking about rentals. Here we're talking about much more than rentals. The Tisbara, the Gemara makes exactly this point. Nihi nami demechai begneva v'aveda. Look, when you're a socher, so you have some liability, but limited liability, right? If the item gets lost or stolen, so you're liable. However, onsa chasha uvenafchas damam mimechai. But when you rent something, and an ones occurs, are you liable? No. Let's say it depreciates in value. Do you have to make up that depreciation as a renter? Of course, the answer is no. So you're talking about limited liability. We're not talking about limited liability. We're talking about full liability. So halo dami ala seifa. In fact, you want the Mishnah and Truma? I'll give you another Mishnah and Truma. And that is Yisrael Shasham Parami Kohen Lo Yachlena Karshine Truma. Ava Kohen Shasham Parami Yisrael Yachlena Karshine Truma. Let's say the drafted document reads that I'm going to not rent your cow, I'm going to take full liability for the cow. Meaning, well, let's appraise the value of the cow, and then I'll make usage of it, promising you that whatever happens to the cow, I'm going to be fully liable for its appraised value. That's a Shuma. And the Mishnah says over there that if the Kohen does that with a Yisrael's animal, it's the Kohen's animal. He can feed a Truma. If the Yisrael does it with the Kohen's animal, it's the Yisrael's animal and he can't feed a Truma. Okay, that half of the Mishnah is much more reflective of our discussion. Okay, so we'll pause over here. We'll finish up this discussion tomorrow regarding how to look at Nechzei Tzaron Barzel. Is it his or is it his? Okay, I know that's funny, but that's effectively the Gemara's question, right? Capital H or lowercase h, okay? And nafka mina is that if they divorce, then now he wants to keep the item, and she says, no, I'm going to take that in back. And when I say keep the item, obviously, with a full reimbursement of its appraised value, so can he elect to do so, or is she going to be able to take the item actually back? Okay, so that's a machlokas amarim. We'll finish up this machlokas tomorrow. Okay, three big topics that we covered today. Really big topics. Number one, women in Peruvu, are they obligated? The answer is no. Okay, but but that's a real short summary of the Gemara. The Gemara had a machlokas, Tanayim. Machlokas, we have Rav Yochanan Paskin. There was a lot of discussion, but the answer is no. Lamai nafkamina. So the Gemara at the end of the sixth parak of the Masechta told us that because she's not chayv in the mitzvah Peruvu, she could be ma'akar herself. Again, that is a gross oversimplification of today's daf, but that's the end of the sixth parak of the Masechta. Next, we talked about an amana marrying to a Kohen Gadol, a grusha marrying to a Kohen Hedjo, both are nisue isurin, prohibited marriages. What are we focusing on in our Mishnah? That when she brings her avadim into this marriage, can the avadim eat truma? The answer is, depends. Avdei Tzaron Barzel are allowed to because they're his avadim. Avdei Malug cannot because they're her avadim. She's a chalala, prohibited from eating truma once she has beer with her husband. Her avadim, therefore, are no longer able to eat truma. That was our second big discussion of today. And our third big discussion of today is general Tzaron Barzel property that a woman goes into a marriage with. Appraised and the appraised value written to the ksuva. And then at the termination of the marriage. So, Can he keep the item, obviously paying back the appraised value, or can she force back and take back the actual item? Machlokas Amarayim. And we'll conclude tomorrow on this Machlokas Amarayim.